Hi, folks. Welcome to this Ag Perspectives podcast. Howdy, neighbors. I'm Ron Hayes, and we're glad to have you along with us today. And this Ag Perspectives podcast, like all of our podcasts, available on iTunes. You can subscribe, as well as to be found on OklahomaFarmReport.com. Today, we're pleased to have along with us what she calls herself a motivational speaker and ag strategist, Michelle Payne Knoper. She now lives in the Indiana area, Lebanon, Indiana, and we had the opportunity to catch up with her in recent days at the Oklahoma Statewide Women in Agriculture Conference. She was trying to motivate the ladies that day, tell them a little bit more about social media as well, and we wanted to talk with her about some of the cutting-edge things going on in social media and where she sees agriculture advocacy at this stage of the game.
Michelle, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you've got going right now. And one of the things that you've worked on since I think the last time we really visited was this whole development of Ag Chat and the Ag Chat Foundation. And you've had a hand in all of this particular development. Why the need for something like that?
Well, the need for the Ag Chat Foundation is pretty simple, and it's to give farmers a voice. The Ag Chat Foundation is actually designed to empower connected communities of advocates, which are farmers and ranchers from across the country. So it was founded by farmers for farmers, and it's designed to help farmers learn how to speak out for what they do on the farm and ranch through social media tools such as Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, blogging, and so forth.
Now, you talked a little bit about that at this Women in Agriculture Conference, the social media tools. It seems like that they just continue to explode, especially Twitter.
It's a little crazy the way that social media has affected our society, and I'm sure a number of your listeners probably wish that it would just go away. But the reality is that social media today is where websites were 15 or 20 years ago, and email was. It's not going to go away. And to look at it from a positive standpoint, Facebook has 500 million users. That's an opportunity for you to tell your story about what happens in food production to a huge quantity of people. Twitter continues to be rapid fire. You know, there's a lot of debate about whether Twitter is growing or declining and so forth. I can tell you personally, I have found it to be the single most effective tool I have ever seen in spreading information about agriculture to put a face on the American farmer and rancher.
It seems like it's easier to get it out to a wider audience than almost any of these other tools.
Twitter is easier to affect a wider audience because of the fact that it's an open platform, which what that means is that it's not a permission-based system. And so, in other words, you may have people following you on Twitter from Singapore that are in food distribution, from Australia that are a farmer and rancher, and the LA Times food section. I have had conversations with all of those folks, and it's very interesting to see how wide open it is. And in Facebook, unless you've been extraordinarily effective with a group or a fan page, it's not nearly as easy to do that. If you've had the good fortune of having a video go viral on YouTube, well, of course, you can reach out to a large number of people, but that's not really a two-way street. That's a one-way street.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned YouTube. Seems like that the video components of what's going on agriculture, that's been used as probably the biggest tool against us by folks like HSUS.
Videos can be both your greatest tool against you and your greatest asset. I know a lot of farmers and ranchers don't necessarily want to see themselves on video, and that you fear videos such as HSUS's and Mercy's videos and so forth. But the reality is that we have 98.5% of our country that's not on a farm or ranch. And if you can show them firsthand of what's happening and connect with their heart, rather than just speaking your own language of agriculture, but actually connect with their heart, then you have an opportunity to leave a solid impression. It's all about putting a face on the plate.
You talked quite a bit here today about the concept of getting past the verbiage and getting to the heart.
I really think that agriculture needs to earn the right to educate, that it's not just about us telling people, well, we're farmers and ranchers, and we know how to grow your food best, so you just have to listen to us. It's actually for us to step back and to look at this as an opportunity to listen, whether you like what you're hearing or not, to engage, which means having a conversation, and then you earn the right to educate at that point, in my experience. Because if you listen and engage, you can find out what people's hot buttons are, what their interests are, and then you can actually speak the same language of what they are speaking, rather than talking in our acronym-riddled ag society.
What things do you see? In other words, you see a lot of the stuff that HSUS puts out, and PETA as well, but of the things that they're putting out about animal agriculture, what has impressed you as far as things that maybe some things that we need to learn about? We need to learn how to do ourselves, or maybe learn to counterpoint.
What certainly has been a take-home message for me is that we need to affect people emotionally. I know perhaps many of your listeners don't want to think about feelings, but the reality is when you see a video, whether you're a dairy farmer, a hog operation, or a beef rancher, the reality is if you see one of those videos of an animal being beaten, it affects you. But think about how much it affects somebody in Tulsa. And that emotional connection is something that we need to learn to get out in front of. And I believe that if we are proactive and we clearly communicate that farmers and ranchers care deeply about doing the best thing for animals and the environment, that we can mitigate some of the effects of those videos. They're never going to go away. That's a reality that we have to face. But if instead you wait to react and you actually get out in front of some of that, and perhaps you share on Facebook pictures of your family working the cattle, or if you share some pictures of what planting and harvest time is like, people will start seeing that Americans, farmers, and ranchers are real people, people who care deeply.
When we think about the things that people like at this conference can do, folks that have not really been able to get their arms around what can I do to tell the story, what are the two or three things that you really want them to maybe start at? In other words, how do they take the first step?
The best way to take the first step is to find what your own passion is. Perhaps you're passionate about beef cattle, or maybe you like to talk about canola. Whatever part of the business you're working in, I don't really care. I just care that you're speaking out. So first, identify what you're passionate about and who you like to talk to. Some people have talents to work with children. Other people have talents to work with elected officials, while others are very talented in social media. Be able to find who you want to focus on, and then take your passion and really work to connect with your target audience, if you will, of influence. Influencers by identifying what their passion is, their hot buttons. So I ask people for once a week, 1 hour once a week, and my challenge that I left the women with today is that if you spend 1 hour once a week, can you imagine the power that we collectively would have for agriculture and explaining people where their food comes from? So you can do a lot of things with 1 hour once a week. It's a conversation in a coffee shop. It's going to the media and doing an interview with them, or perhaps it's spending 15 minutes a day on social media to tweet out or to put a video up or to get on Facebook and just share some factoids and share the story of what happens on Oklahoma's farms and ranches.
One last thing, Michelle. The interesting research that came out, I think it was last week, talking about, you know, the who consumers consider a good source of information. When it comes to livestock agriculture, HSUS was at the top of the list. Farmers and ranchers were at the bottom of the list, or close to it, because they had, quote-unquote, a profit motive, or they were connected to being greedy. They wanted to make money. How do we counteract that?
I think we have to face that we've let other people frame the conversation. We on farms and ranches don't necessarily like to stand up and speak out. We're modest, we're independent, we're stubborn. I get that because I happen to be one of those. So I don't mean to insult anyone out there. However, I think we get past that by being very careful to tell people in all aspects of our lives that we care deeply about those animals and we appreciate the sacrifice that they are paying to provide food for our society. But the people that are working with animals day in and day out, through cold, through snow, through rain, through droughts, we know what's best for the animal and that we are going to do our best in taking care of them. And obviously a part of that has to be sure that we're doing the right things and that we're not only centered on science, but we're also centered on what perception is, even when we don't agree with that perception. And to be able to educate and explain to people why you know what's best for your animals. Because there is no better source for animal care information than the people that are out there on a daily basis. We just have to let people know about it, and unfortunately we haven't done that.
Easiest way to probably catch up with Michelle is to start with her website, and then she's got links for Facebook and Twitter and the like as well there. That website is www.causematters.com. That's CauseMatters, all small letters, all one word, .com. Well, have yourself a great day, everybody. On the Oklahoma Farm Report.com, I'm Ron Hayes.